Where do you go to cool off on muggy KC summer days when you're sick of AC chills and the smell of chlorine and you think maybe it's time to seek out a day along our surrounding lakes and rivers? From the Missouri River to the Kaw, from Longview Lake to Lake Waccomas, water is waiting. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, it's the next installment in our three-part series looking at how we find recreational bodies of water in our city. This time, we look at the lakes and rivers where fishers cast their nets, canoes glide across the water, and boaters set sail. Join us to find out what you need to know about boating and swimming safety, plus the best places to find bass, trout, and catfish for your fishing line. Plus, what simple changes can we make this summer to conserve fresh water, the most precious resource of all? That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Missouri was named for an Algonquin Indian word that means River of the Big Canoes. And our own city is named after the Kansas River. So literally, it's only natural that as summer approaches, our thoughts and discussion turn to our local waterways and how they shape recreational habits. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. During the show, check out some of our local water spots we've highlighted on the interactive map we are currently building at kcur.org. Our guests today are Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of the Marine Operations of the Missouri Highway Patrol. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your jobs and what they entail, starting with you, Jake.
Well, I'm responsible for monitoring the fish populations in the Kansas City area, primarily Blue Springs, Lake Chicomo, Prairie Lee Lake, Watkins Mill State Park Lake up in Clay County. I've got a small lake up in Platte City that we manage specifically for quality bluegill fishing, kind of a unique thing up there. I also work the Missouri River, the Platte River. We do sturgeon sampling, looking at pallid sturgeon in those rivers. I also do a little bit of work up on the Mississippi River, doing some work on sturgeon up there. I review permits for activities in our waterways to make sure that any construction project or stabilization project in those waterways does not adversely affect fish populations.
So in addition to monitoring the wildlife, you're also looking at the ecosystems as well.
Absolutely.
Water levels and biological components that affect the whole thing.
Correct.
Kimberly, I assume you're busier this time of year now that it's warm. Tell us about what you do in the activity that picks up this time of year and how you're preparing for it with your job.
Well, I'm assigned to the Marine Division with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. So our primary responsibility is going to be our law enforcement and assisting citizens out on the waterways. So we are responsible for boating accidents, drownings, make sure people have all the equipment they need to have. We also do a lot to help citizens that are out in the water maybe have some problems or get lost, a boat breaks down, something of that sort. So we've had a warm spring, so our activity has been a little bit busier than normal this time of year. So I'm anticipating we're going to have a busy summer ahead of us.
And speaking of which, how has the warm spring affected waterways, Jake?
Well, you know, early in the year, a lot of fishermen were calling me and posting on message boards that, you know, all the fish are going to be spawning really early. But fish actually key in more on length of day than they do water temperature. You wouldn't think the amount of sunlight in a day would affect fish because they're under the water, but there is light penetration, and the length of day is more of a cue to begin spawning than the water temperature itself. Warm water can move that up a little bit, and we're seeing this year that fish are spawning about 2 weeks ahead of normal. Now, there were some that went to the banks early back in March when it was really, really warm. But those were mostly in the smaller lakes. We have seen a few fish species that spawn kind of early in the spring, go a little bit early. But right now, we're pretty much on time, maybe a week or two early.
So that's not going to affect the fish population any more than normal?
Not at all. We're going to be stocking walleye in Longview Lake later today and tomorrow. That's 2 weeks ahead of time because those fish were moving up to spawn earlier. We collect fish from below Truman Lake, spawn them in our hatchery in Warsaw, and then move the fingerlings to the lakes that get stocked with walleye. Typically the first part of June, last part of May, but we're doing it this week. So that's how early we are.
Jake, what's a distinguishing characteristic of our local waterways? What sets them apart from other regions?
Mostly it's the soil chemistry. Our soils are highly erodible, so our waterways aren't clear water like you see down at, say, Table Rock Lake. You're not going to look and see 10 feet down in most of our lakes. I do have one small lake that is very clear. You can see 10 feet down in it. But we own 90% of the watershed, the land that drains into that lake. And all of that is in either timber or prairie grass, both of which help hold soil tight and keep it from washing into the waterways. So one of the things that in my job I look at is soil disturbance on construction projects to make sure that soil is being kept on site as best as possible so it doesn't end up in our waterways.
And most of our lakes around here are land man-made.
Pretty much all of them. The only lakes we have that are natural are actually old Missouri River channels. Coulee Lake is part of the Missouri River, was a part of the Missouri River that got cut off. Bean Lake up north is another one that was part of the Missouri River. Lewis and Clark Big Lake, and these are all right along the Missouri River, and they all flooded last year during the flood, and that's kind of how they survive. They get an influx of fish. The water flowing through there scours them out again, but they have a tendency to fill in. So they're really not the best fishing lakes that we have, the man-made lakes are.
And Kimberly, you work Smithville Lake. Tell us about what it's like on the average day out there.
Well, Smithville is not the largest lake, obviously, that we have in the state, but because it's so close to the Kansas City metro area, we do get a lot of traffic. So we get a really good combination of fishermen along with, you know, what we would consider our recreational boaters that like to come out and ski or just hang out on the water for the day. So our weekends get really busy. During the week, it kind of hit or miss. We primarily have fishermen that come out, not as many recreational boaters. But we get a large variety. We get a lot of jet skis that come out. We get a lot of small boats and a lot of big boats. So it's a kind of good all-around lake that attracts all sorts of water goers for whatever type of activity they like to do.
One of the things we're trying to establish on this show today is what the best lakes are for swimming, fishing, or boating. What are some lakes that are good for swimming?
For swimming, Smithville does have a beach. I know Longview has a beach. Blue Springs has a beach. You need to kind of watch because we have had bacteria problems at those beaches, primarily due to geese. At least that's what we think. There's large populations of geese, and their feces can contaminate the beach areas. So Department of Natural Resources monitors those beach areas for E. coli bacteria, and they will shut them down if the bacteria levels get high. Watkins Mills State Park up near Excelsior Springs also has a beach.
What kind of precautions should people take if they're swimming in?
Well, I'll take that one.
Swimming in.
Well, you know, the thing that I tell people, if they're going to come out swimming, even if they're going to be in a swim beach, you should always have some type of a flotation device with you. Every year we work drownings where people are in a swim beach and they don't have any flotation device, and for whatever reason something happens and they begin struggling and they drowned. And I've actually worked drownings where someone has drowned at a swim beach with 200 people around them and nobody realizes the situation that they're in. So the biggest thing that I would say is always have a flotation device. For kids, especially as they start getting older, you know, 10, 12 in their teenage years, a lot of times they think that they're responsible enough to go out. And they are, but I always tell them to make sure they have a buddy, that somebody always knows where they're going, because oftentimes what can happen is a parent might get engrossed in a conversation or watching a younger child. So it's important to always have a buddy with you or someone that's constantly watching you in case you do get in trouble. Because a lot of times people I think of a drowning as someone's going to be flashing their arms and making a ruckus and let you know that they need help, when oftentimes when somebody is having problems, it's what we call passive drowning. And they might just kind of quietly struggle and slip under the water and go unnoticed. So it's good to make sure there's always somebody watching you and that they know where you're at.
It's certainly good advice. What are the best lakes for boating? Kimberly, you patrol the lake up at Smithville in a boat. What are the best lakes for boating?
You know, honestly, I think all of our lakes are good for boating. It just depends on really what you want to do. You know, here in the Kansas City area, we have, you know, Longview and Blue Springs Lake, for example. They're very nice lakes. They're beautiful lakes. They're not as big. So, you know, that might be a lake that people tend to maybe anchor out or cove out in a little bit more. You know, Smithville's not a big lake either, but it is still a great lake that you can get some tubing, skiing, and that kind of activity in. If you're wanting to go out for a long boat ride, you might have to head south to some of our bigger lakes. But, you know, we also have the Missouri River, which is a really great resource. I think a lot of people are afraid of the river. If you want a nice, quiet, peaceful day, go out on the river and take a nice boat ride. It's very enjoyable. You see a lot of wildlife. It's calm. It's serene. So that's another great place if no one's ever ventured there. I would highly recommend to educate yourself and try the river out.
Is that common, Jake, people boating on the Missouri River?
It depends upon where you're at. In the Kansas City area, no. Up at St. Joe, I actually fished in a catfish tournament up at St. Joe. We had to be off the water by 10 o'clock in the morning because it got busy with water skiers and jet skiers and pontoon boats and you name it. They were out there. On the Missouri River, you can be out all day and maybe never see another person. Or if you do, it's a cat fisherman. But with some very common sense safety precautions on the Missouri, you really want to learn what a wing dike is.
And what is a wing dike?
A wing dike is the rock structure that comes from the bank out into the river, and it directs the flow of the water into the channel to maintain the channel depth. You want to avoid those. Read up on navigating the river using the buoy markers, using the markers on the bank on how to stay in the channel, and you can have a great time on the Missouri.
So this is for experienced boaters, though, river boating.
Yeah, I would say experienced boaters, or if you're not experienced, just take your time to educate yourself before you go out. Find somebody with some experience or do some research on the computer.
Now, one time to avoid the Missouri River is after a big rain. There's a lot of things that get washed in the river, a lot of trees. I mean, I've been out there and had, you know, 40, 50-foot trees rolling down the river that have eroded off the bank or got washed in from another stream. So you want to really avoid it when there's a lot of debris coming down the river. It can create big problems in your boat.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR-FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of Marine Operations with the Missouri Highway Patrol. We're talking about activities on area lakes and rivers and bodies of water. Kansas City, what is your favorite local body of water, and what do you like to do when you get there? We'd like to know. We might even add your spot to our interactive map on kcur.org. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also jot down your thoughts at centralstandard@kcur.org, where you can chime in about your favorite waterway here locally in Kansas City. Jake, what's a hatchery?
Well, it's a place where we raise fish. A lot of the fish that we raise are not able to reproduce themselves in our lakes. Channel catfish in some of our smaller lakes, they do reproduce, but the young are quickly eaten by predators such as largemouth bass. Walleye will go to the dams and try to spawn, run up rivers and try to spawn in our lakes in the Kansas City area and northward. But they're just not very successful. And even our primary walleye lake in the state, Stockton Lake, we found we have to stock walleye to keep that population healthy. So those are raised in our hatchery. Specialty fish such as muskie, we raise in our hatchery. Paddlefish, with the construction of Bagnell Dam and Truman Lake, and Table Rock Lake, the natural spawning runs for those fish have been cut off. So in order to keep those populations viable, we must raise them and stock them. We also are raising endangered pallid sturgeon and stocking them in the Missouri River in conjunction with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Are there any endangered species of aquatic animal in Missouri waterways that you're monitoring closely?
Pallid sturgeon, right out here in the Missouri River. We have crews out there almost daily monitoring those populations. We're monitoring lake sturgeon. They're not endangered, but they are threatened in Missouri. So those are some that we're keeping close tabs on. We have Topeka shiners, which are a small minnow that are common around the Sedalia area, a little bit up towards St. Joe, not so much right here in the Kansas City area. We have the Niangua darter. The only place it occurs is in Missouri.
816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're discussing our local waterways and what your favorite ones are and what you do when you get there and where you like to fish, where you like to swim, where you like to boat. Once again, that number is 816-235-2888. Kimberly, what kind of fishing regulations come under the purview of your monitoring out there on the lake?
Well, we actually don't, as far as with the Highway Patrol and the Marine Division, we don't do a whole lot with the fishing regulations. We, the conservation agents primarily handle that. We do work closely with conservation, so whenever we see any issues or have any questions or concerns, oftentimes they'll come out and help us, or we will help them also in situations that are needed. So we primarily just take care of the boating rules and regulations when we're out there, and we leave the fishing aspect to the professionals that know that the best.
Speaking of the professionals, Jake, are there any invasive species of note in our aquatic environments right now that we should be aware of in this ecosystem?
Actually, we have several in the Kansas City area. We found 2 years ago, we found zebra mussels in Smithville Lake, and those came in on a boat lift that came from Lake of the Ozarks, which had had zebra mussels for about 4 or 5 years prior to that. And it was brought to Smithville Lake, and we found 4 zebra mussels on the outside of it, removed the dock, and out of the inside of it, there were hundreds of them.
And what does that do to the environment?
Zebra mussels are a filter feeder. They filter the water, and they reproduce rapidly. They cover boat docks. They cover the lower unit of your outboard. They can plug the water intakes for your outboard. I tell everybody that stores their boat on the water, whether there are zebra mussels known to be in that body of water, raise your motor out of the water because you don't want them ruining your outboard. That's an expensive proposition. Zebra mussels are also in Lake Lotawana. When we found the zebra mussels in Smithville Lake, it was treated in that local area to try and kill any young. And just this year, we found zebra mussels in 2 different locations in Smithville. We don't know for sure that they came from that lift as a result of that lift. As a matter of fact, some of them appeared to be older than before that lift was put in. So they may have been there prior to that. But the best thing that people can do to keep from spreading these, and we preach it all the time, clean, drain, and dry. Clean your boat hull. When you come off the water, if you're not going right back to that lake the next day, if you're going to go somewhere else within the next 7 days, power wash your boat, either with hot water or you can spray it down with a bleach solution. Our website has information on how to treat for zebra mussels. We also have Chinese mystery snails in a lot of the lakes around here, Lake Chicomo.
It's a mystery how they got here.
No, it's not. People brought them.
People brought them.
They're big in the aquarium industry.
And why would they bring them?
Well, they have them in their aquarium. They get too many of them. They get too big. And they decide to dump them in the nearest body of water. I have identified all kinds of fish from our waters that are tropical. We have Oscars have been caught in Smithville Lake. Pacu, which is in the piranha family, been caught in numerous lakes. I actually electrofished one out of the Missouri River one summer. And those come from people dumping their tanks. If you're done with your fish, euthanize it. Don't dump it in one of our waterways.
We're on with Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of the Missouri Highway Patrol's Marine Division, 816-235-2888. Tell us about your favorite waterways, anything you've encountered out there on the waterways of our local enclave that we have here, 816-235-2888. Mark in Lee Summit, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. I just wanted to let folks know that there is a fair amount of sailing done here in the Kansas City area.
Certainly. And where where do you like to sail?
I sail on Lake Jacomo. I'm affiliated with one of the sailing clubs there on Lake Jacomo. We actually race sailboats. We race our sailboats on Sunday afternoons.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. Any advice for sailors this year, Kimberly?
Well, we have lots of sailboats. You are correct. I see a lot on Smithville as well. It's a popular activity, and just like all boats, we just encourage everyone to be safe. If you are a motorboat and you see a sailboat, just remember that when they are under sail power, they do have the right of way.
Kay in Redbridge, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to call and say, like 50 years ago, I was water skiing and all on the Missouri River up around St. Joe, and you kind of got to know where the sandbars are and things. I hit one of those one time and went flying. But I think that Missouri River, to me, it's kind of dangerous. I mean, you got one stick sticking above the water, and there's a whole tree underneath. You know, I guess it's like icebergs or something that, you know, you never know what's under there. But anyway, one other thing I wanted to ask about was those flying fish that you see pictures of. I don't know if they're Japanese or Oriental or something. Do we have any of those?
Thank you, Kay, for your question and comment there. Flying fish.
Yeah, those are Asian carp. The jumping ones are silver carp. And, yeah, we've got them. I've had a mild concussion and a dislocated shoulder as a result of being hit by those.
How did that happen? You got hit directly or hit your boat? How did it happen?
Hit me directly.
Wow.
We were electrofishing, and they're hard to stop with electricity. And I had one. I've got a trick shoulder anyway. Had one come from behind, about a 30-pounder, and popped my shoulder out, and had another one jump from 12 feet away and hit me in the head on the Missouri. They are dangerous, and I'm not sure I would water ski on the Missouri as a result of them because they are startled by the outboard motor exhaust. It's loud under the water. If you've ever been underwater when a boat goes by, you could hear the buzz. But they get startled. They can jump as high as 10, 12 feet in the air. And some of these are reaching 30 to 50 pounds in size. So if they hit you and you're traveling at a pretty high rate of speed, it can hurt. And on the Missouri River, in the warmer summer months, typically, they're behind the wing dikes in calmer water, but I have seen them jumping in the channel as well.
We've been discussing Missouri waterways, Western Missouri waterways, Kansas City, Missouri waterways, with Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of the Missouri Highway Patrol's Marine Division. Now we're going to stroke over on shallower waters. This past weekend at the Meet Me on the Bridge Festival on Truce, KCUR's Tamika Weatherspoon talked with Kelly Savage about the local environment-friendly nonprofit Bridging the Gap. They talked about water conservation and the ongoing freshwater crisis.
There's less than 1% of fresh water on the planet. So that right there can make your heart stop for a second, because you know that we have a huge population on this planet. And so we all need fresh water to survive. And basically, we need to start managing our resources, because there's more and more and more and more people using more and more and more water. And so we're running out of our resource. So it's going to be a discussion that gets heard about more and more as the years go on, because we have to start making some changes. My name is Kelly Savage, and I'm the event manager for Bridging the Gap. Bridging the Gap is Kansas City's only environmental nonprofit that focuses on all aspects of environmentalism. We are at the Meet Me at the Bridge event down here at 48th and Troost to celebrate the reopening of the Troost Bridge. And we're participating with the Green Impact Zone to teach the local residents about conserving water. Our fresh water comes from an aquifer that's underground, and it is purified and cleaned as it trickles down through the ground. And our water companies pump that out and bring it straight to your home for you, which is awesome. The problem is that we're pumping that water out of our aquifer faster than it can get back down. So we're having a problem of using more that is getting replenished.
So what can the average person who didn't come to this event, what can they do to conserve water?
There are tons of things that you can do at home to conserve water and even in your workplace. Just look around your home and think about each time you turn on that faucet. While it's running, are you actually using it? If not, go ahead and shut that faucet off. It's that old kindergarten saying, turn off the faucet while you're brushing your teeth. But it's so true, it can save hundreds of gallons a month. So very important. You can also think about water outside the home. I know we all love our beautiful plants and flowers, but in the summertime, it's hot, right? Or right now, it's hot. And so when you're using water outside, it's evaporating right away. So be mindful of that as well. If you're watering your plants, definitely do not do it between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. because you're just wasting it. It's not even going to get to your plants. It's just going to evaporate right off. The best way to water them is with rainwater, and it's free. So it can save tons of water. So definitely consider, you know, you can even put a bucket outside and collect water, and it's free. You can also update your shower head, your toilets. The toilet is the number one big user in the home. It's 30% of the water usage. So by updating your toilet, you can really reduce that. And they're about $100 or so for a water-efficient toilet. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Just take a look and just have a conversation with everybody in the house about, you know what, we're going to do a better job about that because we all get in bad habits. And it's good to just take stock of what you're doing and try to make it better.
That's KCUR's Tamika Weatherspoon with Kelly Savage of the environmental nonprofit Bridging the Gap. They were discussing simple ways you can help conserve fresh water. And this is a water show in a sense today on Central Standard. We're discussing the waterways and water conservation, a big issue in this area, Jake?
It is. One of the biggest threats to our water supply is urbanization. Every roof, every driveway, every road keeps water from percolating down through the soil back into the aquifer. Water runs off those hard surfaces directly into the streams. Many of our streams are becoming highly erodible because there's increased flow of water into them after a rain event because that water does not soak into the soil because it can't contact the soil. So finding ways to hold that water back so it has a chance to percolate. Our Discovery Center, which is right across the street from the studio here, instead of building mounded dividers in a parking lot, ours are concave. So they collect water and allow it to percolate down. There are different paving solutions. If you're putting in a driveway, you can actually put in a driveway that allows water to pass through. In new subdivisions, there are ways to collect that water in stormwater runoff retention basins that can then allow that water to pass through slowly. Collecting water in rain barrels off your roof, you can use that to water your plants, water your garden, and those can make a big difference.
Our guests are Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis with the Marine Operations of the Missouri Highway Patrol. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more discussions about our local lakes and rivers and the recreational opportunities thereof, plus more on water conservation. In and of itself, Kansas City, what is your favorite local body of water? We'd like to know. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Join the conversation, and you can also chime in at centralstandard@kcur.org. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Missouri's own Mark Twain made our waterways world famous, and once said of his writing, "High and fine literature is like wine, and mine is only water." but everybody likes water. It just so happens that this time of the year, mostly true. And the subject of note today on our show, check out our Facebook page today where you'll see photos of listeners participating in our photo contest. All month long, Kansas City, we want you to show us where you go to be around water in the city. Send us an email with your pics at centralstandard@kcur.org. Meanwhile, Kansas City, what is your favorite waterway and your favorite way to spend time on our local lakes and rivers? 816-235-2888. Now joining us for the second half of the hour are Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and Kimberly Davis is with the Marine Unit, Marine Operations for the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Jake, what are some of the best all-purpose bodies of water for fishing, swimming, and boating, all three in the metro area?
In our metro area, the best choice, and I'm biased, I managed the lake for 13 years, is Smithville Lake. There are very few species of fish in Smithville Lake that I wouldn't rate as good to excellent. And this year looks to be a really good year, good fishing year at the lake. It's one of our larger lakes in the area, so there's room for boaters.
Go ahead.
Well, and it has a large bowl right out in front of the dam that makes for a good boating area. Once you get up in the arms of the lake, you run into a lot of timber, standing timber that was left as fish habitat. But you've got that good central bowl that's really good for fishermen or for boaters.
We've got listeners already telling us about their favorite water spots. Courtney Lewis sent us a tweet at KCURCST saying her favorite place is Clinton Lake. She loves running the trails, and she calls it perfection. Thank you, Courtney Lewis, for your comments. Bridget in Maryville, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. Thank you for the delightful program.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I thought I would put my two cents in as a person from Maryville, Missouri, which is perhaps just a little bit outside the Kansas City area, but we have a beautiful lake there, Lake Mozingo, M-O-Z-I-N-G-O, and it, for us, it is a watershed project, but they have, there's an 18-hole golf course there that adjoins the lake. There's camping RV spots as well as tent camping and some cabins and a wonderful youth camp. There's a beach. There's good boating. If you come Monday through Friday, it's like a private lake. So whether you come up for the day or for the week, I think they can accommodate you.
Thank you, Bridget, for sharing that with us, really repping for her lake up there in Maryville, Missouri. Speaking of which, Kimberly, not all lakes are under state supervision. Talk about the difference between public and private lakes.
Well, like the Highway Patrol and the Marine Division, for example, we patrol what we call our state waters. State waters are any waterways in the state that are owned or maintained by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers or by the state of Missouri or the Conservation Department. So in the Kansas City metro area, for example, the only waterways that truly fall into that is Blue Springs Lake, Longview Lake, Missouri River, and Smithville Lake. Your other lakes in the area, like Lakewood, Raintree, some of those areas, those lakes are considered private by our terms. So,
and what are your terms for private?
Well, it's just not an area that we enforce or that all state laws are in effect on. Some of your private lakes have their own rules and regulations that they are required to follow. A lot of them will still require that they have to follow the state rules and regulations, but they may have some additional ones. So we patrol our state waterways. We make sure on those waterways that they are taking care or following the state rules and regulations, and we're responsible for the accidents and anything that occurs on those waterways.
And so the private lakes, they're on their own?
Most of the private lakes have their own patrol that takes care of it, whether it be the county, the city, or a private firm. If it's something of a really serious nature, oftentimes they might call us to come in and help just because we tend to have more of the expertise in some serious boat accidents. But most of them do take care of themselves.
Is that same true for biological inspections and environmental considerations as well, Jake?
Most of the private lakes have their own fishing clubs and set their own fishing regulations. We work with them on recommendations, how to make their fishing better. We help them with habitat projects, how they can do those types of things. But they are under their own purview. County lakes like Lake Jacomo, we have a cooperative agreement with Jackson County, and we manage the fishing at that lake for them. We also have one with Kansas City, which is how we have our urban stocking program, where we stock Penn Valley Lake and Truce Lake and Lake of the Woods in Swope Park and several others with catfish, and some of them get trout during the winter months as well.
Laura in Caldwell, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. And I just wanted to call in. I am the Kansas River Keeper. I work for a nonprofit organization called Friends of the Kaw. And I just wanted to let folks know that the Kansas River, which runs from Junction City to Kansas City, is a wonderful recreational resource for canoeing and kayaking at medium to low water levels.
Thank you, Laura.
And we have lots of information about getting on the river safety on our website at kansasriver.org.
All right, kansasriver.org. You heard it from Laura. Thank you for chiming in. Alan in the Waldo Brookside area. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm also a canoeist. I have a little double paddle canoe, little ultralight canoe that easy to pick up and move around. And I like to go up into the backwater areas of reservoirs and lakes, find the little streams that run into the lake, and then go back and explore up as far as you can. It's really neat because the lakes provide plenty of water level, but you're within the natural stream banks, and it's just like you're paddling through the forest. It's really nice. See a lot of deer, seeing all sorts of things. Up above Smithville is a great place. You can go in by Plattsburgh and go up to the last arm of I think it's the Little Blue up there.
And there is a new boat ramp going to be constructed on Sea Highway just south of Plattsburgh. They're on Smithville Lake. If it's not done already, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if it's complete yet.
I haven't been up there for a little while, but there's kind of a public access by the ball fields on the
right
east side of Plattsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you go up further up there, I think it's still up there, on one bend, there's a great big sycamore trees. There's actually a heron rookery up
mm-hmm.
there. So there's some great things to see on those little backwater areas.
And also up there at Plattsburgh, the second week of April is usually when it begins. The white bass are making a spawning run if it's a kind of a wet year, and you can really catch a lot of white bass right in that park there in Plattsburgh.
Thank you, Alan, for your contribution to the conversation on our local waterways. Kimberly, what are some of the most crowded areas around water this time of year?
Well, this time of year, it's just starting to kind of pick up. So our primary boaters that we have out are going to be our fishermen. So back in the coves are where most of it's going to be. As the season starts getting a little closer and busier, as Memorial Day gets here, our coves that are real popular for skiing are going to start getting crowded. Our coves that are popular for, I guess you would say, a partying, for a lack of a better word, is what a lot of them like to do. Those coves start getting filled with boaters as they all anchor and tie off together. And then we get a good mix of just our boaters that just like to keep moving in their boat and go out. But really all areas of the lake are going to start picking up for us here and getting real busy.
When you have partiers and fishers and skiers, what are some of the biggest safety concerns on our waterways, Kimberly?
Well, the biggest safety concern is people not keeping a proper lookout and not always having a proper courtesy on the water as to what boat should have the right-of-way when. What I tell people a lot, when I'm out on the water, I'm working, and it's my job to watch boaters and their surrounding and what's going on. But oftentimes for our boaters, it might be their day off or their vacation. They might have some friends with them, and they're not always as alert as they should be. Because we get boats moving all directions for all different reasons. You know, your fishermen are usually trying to get to their fishing spots, and your jet skiers are out cutting up a little bit and enjoying themselves. So the biggest concern is people just not keeping a proper lookout for the other boats in the area, and then that's when our accidents start going up.
And so you sometimes find yourself literally being a waterbound traffic cop sometimes.
Well, there are sometimes if we have a high traffic area that we might go sit to just try to because it's just like it is on the road when they see us out there. Sometimes it will slow them down or keep people a little bit more alert or on their toes. And we oftentimes get those calls where one boater's complaining that another boater did something, and so we do often try to mediate and take care of those issues as well.
Ever had a high-speed boat chase?
Thankfully, I've never had a high-speed, so.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Jake Allman, a fisheries and management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of the Marine Operations of the Missouri Highway Patrol. We're talking about recreation on area lakes and rivers, as well as water conservation and ecological implications of our waterways. Kansas City, what is your favorite body of water, and what do you enjoy doing when you spend time there? We'd like to know. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. You can also chime in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Bruce, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, this is Bruce, and I was kind of curious. They used to have a muskie restocking program, and where they had them in Hazel Creek up in Kirksville, and I think also in Pomme de Terre with the state of Minnesota. Are they still doing that, and are they going? If not, are they going to continue to do that?
Jake?
We are still doing that. Those fish are produced at our Lost Valley hatchery. I think we get the fingerlings or the fry in from Minnesota, and we raise them up to 10 to 12 inches of size. And I know that Pommy is always getting stocked. I'm not sure of the stocking frequency at Hazel Creek, but it is one of the lakes that we have traditionally stocked. And like I said, don't manage that lake, so I'm not sure, but I'm fairly certain it's still in the stocking program.
Thank you, Bruce, for your question. Kenny in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello. Love your show.
Thank you.
I float and paddle and kayak Blue River. I go as far south, Johnson County, as 201st. You can put in there and float all the way to downtown Kansas City. You go through the zoo, Shrill Park. It takes about 6 to 8 hours, depending on how fast you want to go. And it's pretty thin in the summertime. You may have to get out and drag your canoe or kayak over about 7 or 8 different places. But when you get a good storm like we did the other night, when you put in, the river flows at about 5 or 6 miles an hour. And there's actually some places where it gets up to like maybe a class 2 rapid, you know, in certain places. And it's real fun.
Well, Kenny, thanks for sharing that with us. The whole point is, I guess, taking your time when you're out there on the river.
Right, absolutely.
Thank you, Kenny, for that. We talked a bit about conservation. Are there problems with pollution in some of our recreational bodies of water? There's a blue algae issue over in Kansas and collection of sort of ecological nasty stuff over in Kansas. What are we seeing over here?
Well, we haven't seen the blue-green algae blooms in Missouri. They can occur. Blue-green algae typically occurs in the very hot summer months in very fertile lakes, lakes that have a lot of nutrients that are getting pumped in. The danger with that is that algae can be toxic to pets and livestock if they drink the water. And it's if it's treated kind of like the E. coli, no body contact because you don't want to get it in your mouth and drink it and that kind of thing. You know, it can make you sick. But soil types are different here than over there. And we seem not to have the problems. We haven't had the problems as bad over here. Every lake is different. Every soil component in that lake is different. Every watershed is different. Nutrient inputs are different. So it's just hard to predict where it might occur.
Any man-made pollution issues in some of our waterways that we should be concerned about?
You know, we've done a really good job over the last 50, 60 years with the Clean Water Act of really trying to rein in our own pollution. Events do occur. we do have sewer line breaks. We do have sewer line overflows. We can have industrial accidents. And we can see some massive fish kills. We've had oil spills that occur. You know, those things do happen. By and large, the Missouri River flowing past our city is cleaner now than it was 50 years ago.
Are there an overwhelming amount of fish kills, or is it about where it's supposed to be or would normally be?
Well, you know, ideally you wouldn't have any, but I like to say fish reproduce by the millions so they can die by the millions. Each fish can lay anywhere from a few hundred to hundreds of thousands of eggs to reproduce two individuals. And fish do die. There's a fairly high annual mortality in a group of fish spawned in 2000. You may only have 2% of them alive now. So there's a very high mortality rate year to year. A lot of that is naturally occurring. But we have low oxygen levels. If you have a pond that is too shallow in the summer, you can have a low oxygen condition that causes all your fish to die. In the winter, if you get snow on top of thick ice where light is not penetrating through the ice, you can have a low oxygen kill as well. The primary cause of most fish kills is low dissolved oxygen.
A caller from South KC wants to know about the crappie fishing in the area. Jake, do you know what he's talking about?
We have some great crappie fishing in the Kansas City area. And it depends upon, you know, do you want to go out and catch really big crappie? Then you're probably going to go to some of our bigger lakes. There are nice crappie being caught at Longview, although they have moved off the spawning banks a little bit. Smithville Lake, from everything I've been able to hear, is having one of the best crappie years it's ever had.
I think he wants a tutorial as well. He wants to know, do you have any tips when it comes to catching crappies?
You know, I fish for crappie a lot, and I use jigs, just a tube jig on a quarter to an eighth of an ounce jig head. And crappie like cover. They like brush piles in the water. They like standing timber. So if you can find a lake that's got standing timber, you could go along and drop that jig right along beside the tree. A lot of our lakes, we have installed brush piles as habitat for crappie and concentrating them for anglers. You can go to our website and find those lakes that have those brush piles, and it'll actually give you GPS coordinates so you can drive your boat right to them if you have a GPS.
Are there bodies of water that are stocked for fish that you can actually keep and eat, and bodies of water that are stocked for strictly for sport?
We don't have anything that's strictly for sport.
Nothing that's strictly for sport.
We allow harvest of all of our game fish in Missouri. There are very, very few catch and release lakes in Missouri. Where there are catch and release, it's usually where we are hosting a lot of kids fishing clinics. And so we want to be able to stock it once and then recycle those fish quite often and let kids come in and catch them over and over and over again.
State Trooper Kimberly Davis, what are you training for this year that was different from last year? What aspect of your training are you looking out for this coming season?
I don't know if we're really doing anything a whole lot different than we've ever done. With the Highway Patrol and the Water Patrol merging about a year and a half ago, we are kind of training some new people to help us a little bit. But other than that, as far as the seasoned officers that are going to be going back out in the waterways, we're just doing all the same things we've always done. We're, you know, making sure, as all boaters should, that their boats are in good mechanical and in good condition before they head out. We want people to check for their safety equipment, make sure they have their fire extinguishers good. It's not required by law, but I would always recommend that you carry a paddle and an anchor with you in case you do run into an emergency or a situation out there. You do have a way to try to help yourself out there. You know, make sure you have your life jackets and that they're good working condition, your sounding devices. You know, that's the stuff that we go over in our boats actually the beginning of every shift, but especially this time of year, we're making sure everything's ready to go and would just like to encourage everyone else to do the same.
Are there any changes to regulations and conduct around waterways that we should be aware of?
There has not been any new changes to the laws or any of the rules and regulations for boating I believe the last change we had was maybe about 3 years ago, and I believe that was our boating while intoxicated blood alcohol content lowered to a 0.08, the same as it is for vehicles. Other than that, we have had no changes, so hopefully it'll keep it simple for everyone this year.
You got National Boating and Fishing Week coming up the first week of June. How are you getting prepared for that? She laughs.
Well, stock up on the sunblock and the bottles of water, because it's some long, hot days for us out there, along for anybody who's out in a boat all day with the heat. It can really start taking a toll on you out there. So, you know, I kind of gradually spend a little bit more and more time out in the heat and the sun to try to acclimate myself to get a little bit better for it. So I would encourage that for anybody, too, that doesn't spend a whole lot of time in the heat.
Jake, are there any changes in our water levels in our waterways that we should be aware of?
Well, right now everything is pretty much sitting right about normal level for this time of year. If you're going out on any of the rivers, there are a series of stream gauges that are maintained by the USGS, and you can go on the USGS website and look for stream gauge levels and see what water levels are doing. Some of our streams are very flashy. If you're going down to the Jack's Fork, one of the most beautiful streams in Missouri, don't do it when there's a 5-inch rain coming the next day and you're planning on camping on a sandbar. The Jack's Fork flows through a narrow canyon, and its level can raise rapidly. You always want to be prepared heading out.
Check the weather, in other words.
Check the weather. Lightning is when you're out on a body of water in a boat, you're the tallest thing there. Lightning is a big danger.
We've been discussing boating, fishing, lightning, swimming in our local bodies of water. Our guests are Jake Allman, a fisheries management biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and State Trooper Kimberly Davis of Marine Operations with the Missouri Highway Patrol. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Check out our Facebook page today, where you'll see photos of listeners participating in our photo contest. All month long, Kansas City, we want to know where you go to be around water in the city. You can email your photos to centralstandard@kcur.org. And tune in tomorrow when we look at the future of fountain design and what some people have called Fountain City, rather history, on Central Standard Fridays. Today's show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon, our program executive produced by Bill Anderson, and produced by Andrea Salenzi with help from Charlie Upchurch. Kim Noble is the announcer. Emily Mutert manages our website at kcur.org. Our intro music is by Miles Bonney, and the outro is by the Wilnots. Up to Date is next with the Book Doctors plus the weekend to-do list. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.